The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Lures of Palma Hockey Show on the American Justice Radio Network, sponsored by Wyman Payne and Mona Sears Doctors for Serious Injuries, on a very difficult Monday morning after one of the most difficult weekends in our nation's history. I want to welcome everybody into the broadcast. Actually, it's been one of the most difficult weeks in our nation's history. After 3 months of incredibly difficult time with the pandemic, and so it's a very it's unprecedented times in America. If things were difficult and uncertain before, the tragedy that occurred last week, my God, we have to pick up the pieces and move forward together. So having said that, the show must go on. We have a great broadcast for everybody. Want to welcome into the broadcast Attorney Frank Ciprero, Senior Associate at Palma Hockey. Frank, how are you, sir?
I'm well. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good, buddy.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. And certainly, the narrative has changed in America. But we're still open for business, and we're still helping those who are injured on the job. Individuals like yourself and firms like Palma Hockey have stayed the course throughout the entire difficult situation with the pandemic. And now, more than ever, I know you guys are, one of the things as we go into the show, talk about how important it is just the sense at Palma Hockey to give back and to make a difference in the community. And it seems like the last 3 months and now more than ever. Tell me a little bit about the sense of giving over there, even over and above the representation that you provide for your clients.
Well, it's, we're in, like you said, we're in a very unique position because we were not, I believe we were probably ahead of the curve in preparing for the shutdown and working remotely. And we also had a big impact on the judges in the courts in being able to function remotely. I know a lot of the civil cases, juries, everything like that is basically still at a standstill in Philly. But we were able to kind of transition a little bit better with the courts for the workers' compensation and work through initially Zoom. As you know, there were issues with the Zoom being hacked and not as secure. So we've progressed to WebEx video and business Skype video. So all the judges have been getting up to speed on that, and we've been able to actually continue. There was a little bit of a delay, but we've been able to continue to get everything on course. Obviously, there are issues now with the frontline workers, healthcare workers with the COVID, and we're obviously, it's our position that, it's a presumption that it was work-related. If you are one of those categories of workers, if you do contract COVID, that it's directly work-related. But because we've been able to stay ahead of the curve, because we've been able to do that, we're also able to get out into the community to help, to donate, to do whatever we can. And as we hopefully, I guess this week Thursday, is the yellow phase.
Right.
So I'm hopeful that we can start to get back, and get back in there and start meeting with clients and moving forward to try to get back to some sense of normalcy. But like you said, it's really, really disheartening to watch, the whole country
right.
burn over the weekend.
No question about it.
And you see those. You see everybody out in the morning. It's just horrendous to watch. But then you see the whole community come out and join together to repair and clean, it gives you a little bit of hope because you see everybody out there, and when they could just turn their back and I mean, I think everybody understands and respects the point of the protest, and you know, changes need to be made. But it's nice to see that a few bad people, who opportunists, who always will take advantage of any situation to try to steal from people, that people don't let that get them down. They'll still be hopeful, and they'll still try to move forward as a, you know, the city and the community. That's hopeful to see.
Well, you know, it's a great point, and you know, certainly, and obviously, we're talking about this because it obviously wasn't planned, because no one saw this coming, and nobody, I know no one more community conscious and more about giving back than Sam Pond, Jerry Lee Hockey, Tom Giordano, and your entire firm. Sam's always the first one there to make a difference. You guys will talk about the COVID 19 hotline and getting involved and making sure that there are resources for people to use. Everybody respects the ability to protest, no question about it. What happened last week to George Floyd, and this is me speaking, was an epic tragedy. The last straw would be the understatement of the century, but having said that, the ability to protest, you're right about the fact that, you know, everybody agrees it was a tragedy. The police agree. Everybody, you know, I've never seen America for a brief time so united, left, right, in the center, doesn't matter, black, white, police, you know, across the board. Anybody who saw, it's the first time I can personally remember. Seeing 1 second of something, you know, like literally, because the first thing I saw was the man kneeling on his neck. It took me one, like less than 30 seconds. I couldn't watch it. And then, of course, we've all seen other videos that were horrible, no question about it. And that's a difficult, they're all difficult. This time in particular, where you got a guy nonchalantly with his hands in his pocket, kneeling on somebody's neck, and all, you know, like it was unbelievable to see. So everything else I've seen in the past was absolutely infuriating, no question about it. This took it to a new level, you know, because I guess the first images that were seen, you know, were really, you know, like they showed it six minutes in, where the guy just was screaming, and the guy didn't even, cop wouldn't even, he wouldn't even blink. He kept it like he was watching TV, eating, you know, Fritos or something like that. And the guy was calling for his mother. And so, you know, there've been a series of tragedies, but this one in particular incensed America like I've never seen. However, we had good, you know, we had the initial protests were nonviolent, and obviously everybody supports that. And then when it hit nighttime, literally every day, the destruction across America is absolutely unbelievable. My saying for social media, and by the way, I understand everybody's frustration. We've had shows over, you know, and obviously people are absolutely fed up with this stuff. I mean, there's a series of videos of individuals that have met the same fate that infuriate everybody. But protesting violence with violence is counterproductive, and it's just a difficult thing. Then you get into the looting. And then, you know, it was, and by the way, they weren't the same folks. These protesters were coming in and, you know, some of them were paid, from what I understand. Those who were inciting the violence at night and the burning and stuff like that. It wasn't like it was our own community. This didn't happen in our community. It happened in Minnesota, but, you know, obviously across America, it incenses people. But it was a crazy, crazy weekend. And like you said, Frank, the fact that the people wanted to come together in the morning and clean their community up is a good sign. And, you know, we all have to come together. And by the way, you know, everything I just said is on me. In other words, those are my opinions, obviously. I'm not speaking on behalf of you or Pond the Hockey, but my point is, the one thing I totally agree. Americans are resilient, and hopefully there'll be some good, that comes from this. And so you guys are – Pond the Hockey is always the first one there. And there's always a sense of giving back. Where does that come from?
Well, I think it's – we're actually about to celebrate in July will be our 10-year anniversary. And obviously it's a lot more solemn, somber this year. But, you know, that just – it gives us a feeling of pride. And I believe that when you say where does it come from, I think that – as you well know, we used to be all part of another firm 10 years ago, and we broke off and came over here. And I believe the reason we have success and the reason we're able to give and help the community is that I believe we're all very like-minded. And that's what I believe has allowed us to have success when we split from the old firm, because we moved forward with a like-minded group. As you know, Sam and Jerry and I and Melissa Chandy. We have all had the same goal, same mind to help people, but we all are like-minded and we all want to give back. And the good thing about this group is everyone's tireless. It's, you know, everyone's on the same page, everyone's in the same gear, and everyone is always willing and ready to step in at any time. And it's a really good feeling because we're able to get out there at the drop of a hat. If anyone needs help, coverage, or yeah, anyone needs to go meet someone, anyone's there. And you can always ask everyone. So we're always able to get out into the community to meet someone at a hospital, when there's a tragic accident, or to meet someone at their home if they're unable to get out. And those are the types of things that we obviously, we want to get back to, because, like you were saying before, with the whole everything that's happened, it's little things in the community, not only the cleanup, but I saw this morning on the news a police officer, I don't know if it was Kensington area, wherever, at 8:08, knelt down, stopped traffic for a moment, and all people that were still protesting all knelt down with him. And, I think that's a big step. And when you see things like that, I'm sure you saw that tanker truck that was on the bridge and the highway during that protest. That could have been another Reginald Denny moment, and it could have, thrown gasoline onto the fire, but they didn't. The protesters, I guess, held them till the police arrived, and that driver will be charged appropriately, and that's the right thing. And that's I think that shows, that the protests in and of themselves are very, very good, and it's a very, very good purpose and point. And that's really good to see. I saw another clip where a police officer had gotten isolated from his group on the streets, and all the protesters surrounded him and protected him until he was able to rejoin the group. So things like that give you hope, and I think it's a really good thing. And I hope that, the people are simply out to steal and have no interest whatsoever in the cause. Right. And they're just out to do the wrong thing, the bad actors. There's a lot of video, and I hope that those people who couldn't care less about the protests and what happened, I hope those people are caught, and I hope they're prosecuted.
Well, and no doubt about that. That was an embarrassment to just Philadelphia in general. Like, in other words, I can only speak to, we all saw that yesterday, and it was a disgrace. And like you said, it had nothing to do with the protest and the overall, though, the anger. I'm watching, obviously TV, and you see the anger across the country. Clearly something's got to change. Something's got to change. And obviously, it can't be ignored anymore. In other words, with the tragedy that happened to George Floyd was I think the obviously the straw that broke the camel's back, and you cannot condone violence or burning up of, especially, just never. But the point is, right after, during this quarantine where people's are all, our resources are down, and the business owners are stressed as it is, and the people, the protesters, everybody has been in quarantine for 3.5 months, and then something like this happens, the last straw. You know, if you see a series of and I'm a big pro police person. I mean, I acknowledge that that obviously the majority of police are overwhelming majority of police are, you know, out there doing their job, protecting lives and doing the right thing.
Absolutely.
And like in any profession, you're going to get some bad apples. But in that line of work, a bad apple can kill somebody. And,
yep.
You know, it stains it for everybody else. But unfortunately, you know, you're talking about lives that have been taken and people just – so you see the frustration in the people. And you see, you know, although it's completely wrong, you got to ask yourself, my God, you know, as a human being, I can't push this, brush this under the carpet like it ain't happening. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, not that I've ever done that, but you see something like that, you say a prayer, you go, oh my God, I can't believe it, and all, and then you move on with your life. Well, I guess that ain't gonna happen anymore because society just isn't going to stand for it. So the point is,
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just can't say, you know, it's just not a simple process, man. And America after this weekend just woke up. I mean, in other words, there's no more saying what a tragedy. That guy should go to jail. You know, that police officer should go to jail for killing that guy or those guys, and then walking out and having lunch and not thinking about it again. Okay, there's obviously consequences, and America just is not going to take it anymore. Having said that, there's a lot of good people that took the brunt of it. So it's not a simple equation. We all need to come together in prayer, including the protesters and the police and America itself. It's not about going out there and you know, forming an army to fight these people. I think what it's about is coming together, and America is always rejoiced and overjoyed. And I don't know a guy more than Sam Pond in any type of situation when people are in need, you know, and where there's an issue. I don't know anybody who's more of a motivating force. He is, you know, if people need help, you know, union workers who are, you know, struggling, who've been injured, he's the first one there. And I know where he's got I know where you get it from. I know, and I know the team that you've got, and like I said, like minds. That's why, you know, you guys have succeeded in with the firm, and breaking away from the old situation into really one of the greatest situations this Philadelphia has ever seen. Of course, I've done a lot of radio with Sam. My only issue with Sam, and I'm sure you'll agree, is he's very quiet. I'm afraid he's going to clam up on the show and just, you know, dive under the desk. Just kidding, Sam.
It's like pulling teeth to get him to talk. You probably can't get a word in edgewise.
He's
something. He's a whirlwind. And he's, like you said, he's the first person to be right there. And he's the first person to talk about change. And that's one of the other things that we're all like-minded on. We all, everybody agrees, I believe, that, like you said, hopefully this is a turning point and this prompts change. But, you know, that's one of those things that it can't be, you know, when you have these school shootings, people say prayers and do whatever. And then because of the NRA, nobody can ever change anything because everybody's all bought and paid for. But this time has to be, you know, whether you're Democrat, Republican, whatever it has to be a bipartisan effort to not let it die down. But it also has to be a change that starts, you know, hate isn't taught. It's no little kid is brought up hating any particular race or religion. That's taught. So it's one of those things that it has to be a cultural, generational change across the board to change people's mindset. And, you know, I'm hopeful that this prompts people to actually look at it and look at themselves and look how they may be teaching their children or their children's children. And one of the biggest problems we have, I believe, is, you know, where are our leaders at this time?
Oh, my God.
Who's coming on to on national TV, giving a speech, calming everyone down, trying to unite everyone together? There's nobody. There's no one
you're
at the wheel.
Right. You're 100% right. That was my biggest concern over the weekend, where's our leadership? Now, we, you know, we had black community leaders on our show, and they were saying really good things and taking leadership roles. I saw, you know, and I saw the police commissioner in Philly. She had a great message. But I didn't see our elected officials, our primary elected officials showing any leadership.
Right.
You know, and in a sense, you know, there was just odd. There was a lot of division. I mean, Kenny is talking about the Frank Rizzo, another controversial situation, but the Frank Rizzo statue. And yep. as much as it's a polarizing situation there, a lot of people supported, and African-American community members and leaders supported Frank Rizzo. We've done a lot of shows on that situation. Irregardless of what anybody's opinions are, right now, we are in a situation where, you know, that's a topic, we can avoid right now. And it's a, you know, it's, we'll get to that one when the time comes, but that was what the mayor's statement was. And, you know, I get it. He was happy to see everybody cleaning up together. And it's good, but we knew we had another night coming. Okay. We knew we had a night coming. And, you know, we had like last night was coming. He talked about no safety for the city. He talked about now you're going to get people, you know, so he was a mess, you know, like a total mess, crying on it. We don't need that. We don't need tough talk either. But we need, like you said, we need leadership. The governor's same way.
Yep.
Somewhere in Harrisburg, you know, acting like a wimp on the radio. You know, not that you want tough guy talk, but you want some, like a Sam Pond would be a good example. Somebody who's
someone who's calm and uniting. And uniting.
And
you know, you need a president who's going to come on and tell everyone, listen, we need to come together and it's going to be okay. Here's what we need to do. Instead,
yeah.
You have a president who won't go and won't do anything because he doesn't have the guts and doesn't care, more importantly, and he'll just tweet things like to incense all the protests and the riots. He'll say things like, oh, if they breach the wall, they'll have dogs unleashed on them and insane weaponry. How does that help the situation? That
pours
gasoline on the situation and reminds people of the riots in the 60s when they did literally release dogs on African Americans. So it's, you know, he's doing the exact opposite of what we need in a leader. If we had an Obama or if we had Joe Biden right now as a president, they'd be on nonstop on TV talking to the nation, telling us,
well, here's
you know,
here's
what we need to do.
You know, I totally, you know, got you. But also, like, as a president, you're not sitting with the looting comes the shooting. Now, you can take that 80 different ways. Okay? And that is not a good message. I mean, in other words, I don't care. And then he had to clarify himself. You know, we need certainty. And I don't exaggerate when I say Sam. You know, Sam's a motivating, positive individual who, you know, it's funny. When we do our shows with Sam, you know, we start off with his monologue. Now, have you ever heard some of our shows with Sam?
I have.
Okay, so I coach football and high school football. You know, I played sports, and a lot of times, I mean, he'll sit there and talk about Social Security disability. By the time he's done, it's like I'm in the locker room at halftime and we're down by 10 points in the Super Bowl. I want to run through the wall and just rock and roll. Like, let's get this thing going. And I'm like, we're talking about Social Security disability, which is one of the most important topics imaginable. It's just so many great benefits for it. But typically speaking, you wouldn't expect somebody to have such excitement and such motivation in an area of the law. Obviously, a lot of people need more information but don't know. On other topics that are, you know, important. And so we need motivating individuals that are joiners, that are not dividers. Even if a political leader like Kenny or Wolf or even Trump, even if they mean well, your delivery and your tone, or even if they have a point that they can't get out, you need to be able to unite you cannot, you know, and right now we have Americans paired against Americans, and it's just a terrible thing. And we need great leadership, and we need.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you can't fake that either. It's one of those things, like when you're saying about Sam, you know, we've had multiple benefits for multiple, many political candidates, and Governor Wolf, and Sam will go on to introduce Governor Wolf. And it's one of those things that I think, I'm certain the governor is standing there thinking, how am I going to go follow this guy?
Yeah, no doubt.
Because he's exactly what you said. He's a motivator. When he is excited about something, which, you know, our practice, that's what we do. He's extremely excited about that, but also about politics and moving our Commonwealth in the correct direction. He's extremely excited, and you can't fake it. He has it. And I know Wolf does too, but I think anybody, aside from maybe Bill Clinton or Obama, would be nervous to go speak after Sam.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
One of those things. And then you have like a Trump, like you were saying before, he doesn't care to unite. He couldn't care less. It's more, everything is about him. So everything he's looking at this is, how does this help or hurt me? The COVID-19, why did this have to happen to me around in an election year? He's only about himself. So he couldn't care less about any of this, aside from how it may affect him politically. And when you hear him talk in the past, when he talks about police, don't treat them too nicely. Make sure you hit their heads, and make sure you bang, you know, use force. And he couldn't care less about this, about George Floyd or any of the things that have happened to these people. He doesn't care. The over 100,000 people that have died because of the COVID, couldn't care less. It's only how does it hurt or help him in these situations. And that's all he thinks about. And you can't unite that way. Because you can't fake it. He doesn't care, never will.
And
really sad that that's our situation.
Right. And listen, you know, it's a sign in America of partisan politics in Washington, where, you know, that's how we got in there, for crying out loud. And my point is, we all got the power's in with the American people, and you know, in some cases. You know, you saw people over the weekend, you know, raising their voices. Now it went out of hand, and it should not go ever any farther than that. But the bottom line is, there's turmoil in America. There's turmoil in Washington, and we need joiners. We don't need people who are going to be dividers. And certainly, you know, we've had a situation where we've had enough. We've had enough with. You know, of partisan politics and division. We, the American people, all need to come together. Clearly, you know, we can do it. And like you said, our leaders. I mean, look, we've always supported Wolf. Okay, not real happy about the way him and Kenny are handling this. Why? Because we need more leadership. We don't need you to make your point. Yeah, we get it. That protesting is a good. And it, you know, doing it lawfully. We all know that. There's no one that doesn't know it. We need some leadership here. Don't tell us the obvious. We get it. We need to be able to, you know, we need to be able to get through this, you know, in one piece as a people. This can't be a civil, you know, war, okay? And we need leadership to, you know, at the, you know, and we also need to make sure that, you know, we're not, you know, from the, you know, the people that are against, obviously, the protesting, you know, that you know, that doesn't get too volatile, and that we don't have Americans fighting Americans on the street. So, you know, look, man, we've had an unbelievable 3 months, just unimaginable. And then this is the nice cherry on top, sarcastically speaking. I don't mean that. I mean, I'm just saying we're already beaten up. And then this happens, and that officer who did that, you know, the murder charges, I hope they go the distance in regards to it's third degree murder. It should go up to second degree. I don't know if it'll get the first. And then the other three individuals. I mean, seeing that.
I did see this morning that the Minneapolis DA was said that they were complicit in the crime. So hopefully the three others also get charged similarly. Because, like you said, that was one of the worst, hardest things to watch. And people have to be outraged at that, and they have to stay outraged at that. And that needs to, those officers need to be prosecuted. And we, you know, that's another thing that you won't hear anything from the leadership in this country, because Donald Trump's base, it's not beneficial for him to come out strongly against that. And that's so sad that the political division in this country will prevent him from coming out strongly against that. It'll be very, very weak, if anything.
But what's interesting is you hear the police. I haven't heard one police officer, not one, including one police high-ranking official, including the union officials that represent the police, not say that they didn't think it was a, you know, every one of them said to a T that, you know, obviously how wrong it was and how disgraceful it was and what, I mean, unbelievable. There's nobody denying it. And it's just such trying times. And so, we all agree. And that's kind of the tragedy, because America was united behind that situation and infuriated. When I saw it, I lost it. I literally lost it.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't. I mean, when I saw that, I don't think anybody who saw that, you know, didn't lose it immediately. And everybody felt like it's the last straw. And like we said, there's so many good police officers out there, but the rotten apples, you know, spoil everything. Well, that's putting it very simply, because when they spoil everything, some people die. And now it ignites a whirlwind across America. So, Frank, let's do this. I'm going to go to break, and then we're going to come back.
Okay.
I want to bring our sponsor in. We're going to talk a little business here. We'll talk a little work comp, what you do. Good talk, man. Your opinions are well placed, and hopefully America comes together, and we do what we always do, and we rise above it. We'll talk
Absolutely.
To you. We'll talk to everybody. Look forward to we're going to go to break. Look forward to bringing everybody back to the broadcast in just a moment.
Thanks, Joe.
My friends, this is Joe Krause. You've heard me on Philadelphia Radio now for over 20 years, and you know I don't often endorse products or people unless they are real game changers. I want to tell you about Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located in Center City, Philadelphia. And at the end of this short personal endorsement, I want you to consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness. If you are recovering from an injury, if you or a family member has been diagnosed with a disorder that has stopped you in your tracks, or if you're like me, determined to learn about wellness while getting yourself prepared to stay healthy so you can enjoy the blessings of your family. Remember the name of this warm and caring location, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. Why should you consider Weinerman Pain and Wellness? Because they are who you expect them to be.
Weinerman Pain and Wellness, located at 1617 John F. Kennedy Boulevard, Suite 1100, Philadelphia, PA 19103. Call Weinerman Pain and Wellness at 215-988-9503. That's 215-988-9503. Call today.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
My name is Sue Smith. I'm 38 years old, and I work at a graphic design company. Which is funny, because I couldn't even draw a stick figure when I was a kid. But I met someone who told me, you know what? You can do anything if you really want to. And if the teenage me were here, she'd tell you,
I wouldn't be into drawing and art if it wasn't for big brothers, big sisters. Most kids from my neighborhood don't get into art. They get into trouble. But I was lucky because my big sister showed me early on that I didn't have to be like most people. And to the young me,
that meant a lot. My big sister's name is Sheila. And Sheila is the reason that this 8-year-old grows up to have an amazing job as a graphic designer.
Whether you donate money or time, you're helping Big Brothers Big Sisters help a child. And that can last a lifetime. Start something today at BigBrothersBigSisters.org. Brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
They just told us right away that we're going to house you, we're going to feed you, and every single one of his medical bills is just all taken care of.
They've saved my family from financial ruin. It allowed me and my wife both to focus on the most important thing, which was the health and well-being of our son.
We have phenomenal research, outstanding clinical care, and the generosity of public, which allow us to treat patients regardless of what it takes. And that's what makes St. Jude so magical.
At St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, families never receive a bill for treatment, travel, housing, or food, because the only thing a family should worry about is helping their child live.
Doctors send us the toughest cases to be treated at St. Jude, and our patients come from all over the world.
When we come here, they told me, don't worry, everything's been taken care of.
We could never repay St. Jude for what they've given us.
Because of you.
Gracias a ti.
Because of you.
There is St. Jude.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, welcome back to the Lures of Palma Hockey Show. Frank Sapero, Senior Associate at Palma Hockey, is our guest. Frank, thanks so much for obviously, keeping the show rolling. I know it's a difficult day for all of us, so appreciate your time, sir.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's great to have you, and we're rolling on here in the second half of the show. I want to bring on Brooke Borski, who's with Weinemann Payne & Warnes, our sponsor. She's the business development professional over there, and we're going to talk a little about what's going on in the medical side of things. Brooke, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
Doing great. We have say hello to Frank Sapero. Frank,
how you doing, Brooke?
Hi, Frank, I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Good. Good to talk to you.
Nice to speak to you too.
So obviously, Brooke, Frank and I were talking, a lot about what happened over the last couple of weeks, over the last week, and how difficult it has been. But we've also talked about obviously the coronavirus and the COVID-19 and how in our world, in the injured workers, injury victim world, our legal and our medical has been able to continue treating our people, representing our clients. I know Weinemann Pain and Wellness has been open for business with all the maximum precautions during the pandemic. And been able to treat individuals who need the treatment, and those that have been unable to actually come into the office. New technology has made that possible to be able to get some of their treatment. So, tell us what's going on over at Weinemann. Tell our listeners how Weinemann is taking the maximum precautions to make it possible for your staff and your patients, to continue not completely as usual, but to continue on.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are seeing and treating patients every single day. When the patients come in, we are taking their temperature to ensure that no one has a fever. We are social distancing. We're only allowing 5 patients in our waiting room every 30 minutes. And our waiting room is pretty large. It typically holds 24 patients. We are also only taking patients by appointment so that we can ensure that social distancing is happening properly. We have all of the safety materials and protective equipment. Everyone is wearing masks and gloves, both our staff and the patients. Some patients come in their own masks that they don't have. We will give it to them. And we want to make sure that everybody wears it the entire time while they're in the facility for both the protection of the patients and also the protection of our staff. We have been sanitizing our facility, everything, the equipment, in the back in the therapy room, everybody is also spread out. Everything that is used all day long at the beginning of the day, the end of the day, everything is completely sanitized. So we're making sure that, everything is clean for both, again, the patients and our staff.
So, and I know the technology, this goes for you as well, Frank. And we touched on it at the beginning of the show,
But technology in the legal field and in the medical field, for example, you know, telemedicine, Brooke, you guys are, I know you guys, Dr. Wanham is, and the team is practicing telemedicine. And just like the attorneys are able to utilize Zoom for a lot of what's going on with their clients, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you guys are doing with telemedicine to make it possible for your clients to get treatment, especially those who are high risk.
Yeah, so we are doing telemedicine appointments, doctor's appointments for people that are high risk or maybe they just don't feel comfortable coming in. And it allows us to treat pretty much everybody. So we can take new referral appointments that way. We can take existing clients that way. And, you know, we are getting them started or continuing. And then once everything, you know, if they feel more comfortable coming in when things clear up, or we can start to have, you know, high risk patients in, we'll have them back in the office. But right now the telemedicine appointments are working great for us.
And so, and I'll ask Frank. Frank, a lot of tech, new technology. I've heard attorneys say that actually it's almost like the legal field and profession has been preparing for something like this, because especially in the work comp field, because you're not dealing with you know, a live jury, but you guys, you know, and most of the legal field, and you know, really across the board, have the technology to be able to represent your clients almost without skipping a beat. Is that accurate?
That is true. I think there was a little bit of a bump there for a while till everyone was up to speed and running with the tech. You know, especially some, as I mentioned before, some of the judges, more seasoned judges, who, I don't know, maybe more resistant to change, but I think everybody's come on board. And, you know, like you mentioned, I was able, I think last Thursday, to do three mediations, one with a Harrisburg judge, one with a Pittsburgh judge, and one with a Scranton judge over the course of 4 hours. And otherwise, someone would have literally had to have driven from one of our offices to one of those locations to do that. So from that perspective, it's more efficient, less time consuming. And with, like you mentioned before, with the juries, obviously that's going to take some time to work that out. But from the workers' compensation perspective, the judge only needs to see our client one time. And the reason for that is every judge in his or her findings on a decision will make reference or will make a finding to the credibility of our client and whether or not they found the client credible. So we always want our clients to have their day in court before the judge and have the judge have an opportunity to see them. And I think one of the things that's interesting is even as we phase into this from yellow to green, with the social distancing, and I don't know how it's going to look with live clients before the judges, and I'm sure it's going to be fewer people and not a packed courtroom anymore. But with a mask sitting in front of a judge, I believe it may be a little more difficult for a judge to still look at the claimant and hear our client speak and be able to assess that credibility. If we do it by video, the judge has a big screen monitor and can look at our client and watch the client in real time without a mask on. So the virtual at this point does have its benefits until we can get to the point where potentially, hopefully, we have a vaccine and we can even lessen the requirements even more. But in our practice, the WebEx and the Zoom and the video Skype is invaluable. And I think everyone right now is transitioning to that. And it will never go back to the same. Something will come out of it, and the practice itself will be different. That's why I'm always impressed with, you know, Weinerman Pain and Wellness, what they do, because there are some facilities right now, providers who still are not seeing live patients. And telemedicine is effective to an extent, but we have patients who need that treatment and who, without that treatment, their pain increases, their range of motion decreases, and the longer it goes, the worse it gets for that patient. And you want to try to avoid
prescribing opiates or any strong narcotic medication. And a lot of the treatment and the hands-on treatment, the therapy, you know, that allows the client to treat conservatively without any heavy medication. So I know everything is going to change, but I think eventually it'll change for the better. I mean, overall, when we were talking earlier about how it needs to be a national change, when you look at just the people, just look at the commutes that people are not doing now and how that few month period has changed the environment already. And you see people in Cairo, or, you know, that they could see now the pyramids without the smog they couldn't see before. You people all over the world, you see photos of Mount Fuji that were, you couldn't see it through the smog before in India. But little things like that are, you know, a change that's coming out of this. And I think everyone's realizing that people can work remotely. And I think all businesses are, one of the things that everyone is looking at right now is, okay, so let's track our productivity over this period. If we haven't seen a drop, well, we saw an initial little drop and then it came back to where we were. We don't need this large footprint. We can operate virtually. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how things change moving forward, in not only the medical and legal field, but overall. I'm sure that's one of the calculations that everyone's making, as far as, I could hire someone from Hawaii right now if the person could be just as productive virtually as someone that I could hire from the Philadelphia area. So it's a really interesting dynamic that's fluid and changing.
Well, it's interesting because technology, obviously, you know, no one foresaw this and no one could have imagined it, but I'll take it back to another national, you know, tragedy of a different type, 9/11, when obviously, you know, terrorists were able to get on planes with handheld weapons. And now we have an entire industry dedicated to making sure a homeland security industry and new protocols at airports and all those things. So there's always a change, and it's obviously a totally different situation, but not completely. You're dealing with pandemics, and you're dealing with travel maybe changed, all kinds of things, and then different professions maybe changed. And some of those changes that occur in all professions may stick around, and the technology may make it possible, like you said, to hire somebody in Hawaii. There's one office space that a business does not need, and as long as it's a productive quality situation, obviously that could be extremely beneficial to a business who is a large business. Palma Hockey would be a great example, where you have a large number of employees, and a number of them are now working remotely. The machines rolling, for lack of a better term. That's the same with a lot of other big organizations. And it may be to the point where, you know, you don't need as much space. But the bottom line is, and by the way, Brooke, you, at Weinemann Pain and Wellness, Dr. Weinemann is now doing depositions over Zoom and other types of technology that makes it possible for him to continue, obviously, representing the clients and working with the attorneys almost without skipping a beat as well, correct?
Yeah, he really is. And it's funny because Dr. Weinemann he's not, you know, great with technology, and he has been doing amazing. He's on Zoom, he's working remotely, and all the attorneys have been said it's been great.
Well, that's fun, and that's kind of like, there's a lot of really, you know, like owners of firms and practices, you know, that are old school, that are now becoming whizzes at the new technology. And you know, and I'll say this to Brooke, you got to think that as the future rolls on, that I get it. Everybody wants to do. There's nothing that replaces a deposition, you know, face to face. I mean, I'm sure you, Frank, you know, you would prefer to, you know, depose somebody, you know, who's 6 feet away from you. But the technology, I mean, is that am I overstepping it when I say that?
No, not at all. But you know, one of the things is, if for some reason I couldn't have made it to Dr. Weinerman's office in the past for a deposition, we could do it by phone if necessary, in a pinch. But it's not user friendly for anybody, because I can't see him, he can't see me, and we don't have the actual file in front of us. But in these scenarios, now with the Zoom technology and the WebEx, I can literally be on my laptop looking at Dr. Weinerman, and he could be looking at me, and we can be looking at the same file. So it's almost like being there next to the doctor at his office saying, okay, let's go through this. Here's what, here's our position in this case. What are your diagnoses within a reasonable degree of medical certainty as a direct result of the work injury? So all of those things now we can do sitting next to each other virtually. And I know that will certainly save commute time, travel time. It'll save the doctor certainly time as well as us. I think once we do get back to the times where, you know, we can travel freely, we can meet freely, certainly I would always prefer to be sitting in the doctor's conference room doing the deposition. But I believe that, you know, the biggest thing is to, you know, improvise, adapt. And I believe that everyone's doing it, both in, Weinerman Pain and Wellness. They're at the forefront of it, and I believe so is our firm. So everyone is kind of dialed into the same thing right now. And then it's exciting because, like you were saying before, we don't know where this will lead, and we don't know what permanent changes there will be. But we know that if we're completely proficient with this right now, and there's no drop-off in productivity or as minimal as possible, that we will be able, when it does change, we'll be able to adapt immediately to whatever the permanent changes are. So I think that gives us an advantage. It allows us to help and serve our clients, to get them to the correct medical providers, to get them to a Dr. Weinerman's office for the treatment they need, but to also be able to handle their case and move it forward and get them the benefits that they need without any delay. So we can move that forward and schedule our medical and schedule our depositions with almost no delay in the case. So I think all the technology right now is allowing us to proceed with very little delay, and we're ahead of the curve. And I think, you know, obviously with the unemployment right now, there are obviously fewer workers, fewer injured workers. I mean, that's just math. But,
right.
You know, once everybody gets back into the economy and everyone's back working, I think we'll be much in a much better position than we were before, because we're able to adapt immediately to this virtual scenario if necessary, and we're able to immediately go back to however it may be live. So, you know, we're able to handle it from either end.
And to me, you know, and hearing both of you talk about that, you know, how technology has made it possible for you to adapt. To me personally, you know, I want to know, you know, my goal obviously is to have the listeners, many of those individuals who may be in a situation where they need both of your services, know that if something happens, that they're not alone, and that they'll be treated and represented, with quality, precision, and that they're not in a situation where the ship doesn't roll on, where they're lost, and that's a great thing. We got a couple minutes left. I want to talk a little bit about communications with clients. I mean, it's a fearful time. It's been a fearful time. But I know at Pond LaHockey and at Weinerman Pain and Wellness, communicating with your clients / patients has been an important part of, you know, keeping them comfortable in under a stressful situation. I'll go to Frank first. Frank, you tell me a little bit about that and how important it's been to communicate with individuals who are in a stressful situation as it is, but particularly now when, you know, they're injured. They're choosing, in some cases, especially if they're high risk, between their health, their treatment, their case, and their life with the COVID and their case. How important has it been to communicate?
It's tremendous. There probably isn't anything more important. You know, I actually had, before we came on the show today, I had a mediation with a client who because nobody witnessed his injury at the employer's office because it was late and no supervisor was there, he reported it the next morning. They denied his claim saying that nobody saw it, which is absurd because no one has to see it. The injured worker gets the benefit of the doubt. And you have 120 days under the Workers' Comp Act to report an injury anyway. But not only did they deny his claim, they fired him. He got no benefits. He had to go through his entire 401k. He ended up having to declare bankruptcy. And I couldn't meet with him and his wife, who are in the worst situation of their life. So when we have something like a Zoom or a WebEx that we can sit down and look at each other, and I can assure them that we are going to take care of you, I'm going to tell you step by step what our plan is, and you're going to be informed all along the way. And when you need to speak to us, we can look at each other. We can sit down, you can see me, I can see you. And any question you have and your wife has, I'm going to answer, and we're going to take care of you. And that ability to do that virtually is invaluable. Over the telephone is one thing, but when you can actually look someone in the eye and tell them it's going to be okay, we're going to take care of this, that's the biggest thing that we want to do for our clients when we sit down and meet with them. And we certainly will. The second we can, when we open, we can sit down with a client, that's what we're going to do. But until then, this virtual world has allowed us to look the client and their family in the eye and tell them that it's going to be okay. We're going to take care of this. Here's the plan.
And Brooke, I know that the communication between Dr. Weinemann and the patients is also giving them the options and letting them know that they can still treat has been a priority for your entire staff. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely. And we have actually been calling Leah and Janika, who are in charge of our intake department, have been calling all of the patients just to make sure they know that we are available, we are open, they can come in for therapy, they can come in for doctor's appointments, we can do telemedicine doctor's appointments, because a lot of people just are assuming that we are closed. So we have been making sure to reach out to all of our patients daily and let them know that we are there for them.
So listen, I want to thank both of you, obviously, for being on the broadcast. You know, we've provided a lot of great information. Frank Sobrero, senior associate at Palma Hockey. Fantastic conversation, certainly during this very difficult time, and great information for our listeners. I want to thank you. Frank, if you would, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you if they want representation.
Thanks, Joe. Just let me say I really appreciate you having me on today. It was a pleasure to talk with you. I know it was a really rough time. So I'm glad we were able to talk about, you know, a few things as far as the city and the nation. But people can reach out to us at any time, pondleyhockey.com, 215-568-7500. And that's 215-568-7500 or pondleyhockey.com. We're available 24 hours per day. So if anyone has any, they can always have someone to speak to. They can go online. They can fill in an online questionnaire, call us, email us. You can always reach us, search Workers' Compensation Philadelphia, and that's the first thing that's going to pop up. You can always find pondleyhockey.com. We're here for everyone.
Absolutely. And Brooke Borski of Weinemann, Payne & Wellness, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank Weinemann, Payne & Wellness for sponsoring us. You can find them on the web at WeinemannPayneAndWellness.com. And certainly you guys are down at 1 Penn Center, 1617 JFK Boulevard, Suite 1100. Phone number 215-988-9503. For Brooke Borski, for Frank Sobrero, and everybody, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on this extremely difficult day to the Lures of Palma Hockey Show. Thanks so much for listening.